皆さんおはようございます。今日はね、ハワイからジョン先生が私たちのためにメッセージを取り継いでくださいます。もし聖書を持っていたら、使徒の働きの一章を開けてください。それではジョン先生、よろしく。
おはようございます。 Good morning to you, my Crossroad family、and thank you, Pastor John here, joining you from,、from Hawaii. Wish I could be with you when all this COVID is gone and we can fly. Yours, Kobe, is one of the first places that Brenda and I want to get back to. We love you so much. Hey, I want to invite y'all to open your Bibles to Acts chapter 1, and let's get into the Word. You know, what I've been doing here at Journey in Hawaii, gang, is that since the resurrection, I've been talking and showing, well, talking about the activities of the disciples after the resurrection of Christ. You know, John 19 and 20, where we find them, they're locked in the upper room in fear, right? And Jesus appears, and they're still traumatized over the crucifixion. And then having a hard time really believing that Jesus has physically rose from the dead. And so, as I was watching that, I was thinking about our COVID crisis right now, because we're all pretty traumatized. This thing just kind of hit us, and it's not just you in Kobe and us in Hawaii. This is the whole world. 7.2 billion people are all in a crisis. We're all being traumatized, and we're either feeling we're in shock, we're in denial, we're feeling angry, or we're feeling hopeless, right? And we go through this combination of these grieving emotions, and it's like, how do we put these all in perspective and get to acceptance and get on with our lives? Trusting the Lord and beginning to believe that there really is life after COVID. Well, what I noticed from the time of the resurrection until Jesus ascended into heaven, He regularly appeared to his disciples, and he did two incredible things. Let's look in the Word and discover what those two things were. All right? Acts chapter 1, verse 1. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. Now here it is. Here's the two things. Verse 3, after his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. Isn't that wild? He showed himself to the disciples, and in the midst of all their emotion, he made sure they knew that, you know what, I'm flesh and blood, I'm alive, I'm not a ghost, that Jesus had risen from the dead, physically risen. And the second thing, it says, he appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. Right. So let's look at those two things here. And first thing I want to show you is a picture of by a guy named Caravaggio. It's called the Incredulity of St. Thomas. Incredulity means disbelief. And it's a picture of Thomas putting his finger into the spear wound of Jesus. And yes, Thomas is flanked by two disciples that are also looking on. We don't know who they are. But I want you to notice two things. The artist captures Jesus, and if you look at his face, it's a face of compassion. It's not angry. And notice the hand that's on top of Thomas's. It's Jesus's. And he's helping Thomas's finger get in and feel the wound. What does the Bible say in Acts 1, verse 3? Jesus gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. You know what, gang? If COVID is causing you not to fall away in disbelief of Jesus, but you want to know, God, where are you? Ask him. He will show you many convincing proofs that, dear ones, he is alive. Second thing that Jesus covered was the kingdom of God. And what is the kingdom of God, right? Well, it's God's active rule. It includes his authority as king, right? There's no one above him. His activity, he's constantly at work, right? And the realm, there is no limits to what he does and who he works with, right? So he's not just Sunday with us at Crossroad, dear ones. He's Monday at our homes. He's at our works. He's on the train. He's at the school. He's in our sports clubs. As we're sheltering at home, he is there with us. That's his realm, right? And so Jesus prove that he was alive and talk to them about the kingdom of God, right? And so that's what I've, you know, how do we manage ourselves through while we're sheltering here in our houses, right? We need to go to the Lord and say, God, show yourself to me and understand what it means to be a subject of the kingdom of God. Because the Bible says, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, right? And everything we need will be added unto us. And we are so COVID crazy right now. We are so aware of what we have and have not, right? And the Lord says, seek his kingdom and everything we need will be taken care of. So the question comes to, as we're looking at this, at least for me, Psalm 37:4 says, delight yourself in the Lord and he'll give you the desires of your heart. To delight means is to believe, to trust. Do I trust in Jesus to take care of me, to fulfill and meet even the desires and dreams of my heart, right? That's something to think about in the COVID times while we're home. Let's keep reading. It says, on one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So he's talking about, you know what? God, my Father, is going to pour out power on you. I know we in John 19 it says that Jesus breathed on them, so they had the Holy Spirit inside of them. But now he's talking about bringing his power upon them. And we're going to show you scripture in a moment that is really radical about that scripture. And then it says, so when they met together, they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them in verse 7, it's not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. Verse 8, but you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. When they hear about the kingdom, they say, wow, Lord, so are you going to put in godly leaders? You're going to get rid of the Romans? Remember, the Romans ruled the world at that time. And it'd be like us saying here in Japan, so are we going to get a new prime minister, one that's a solid Christian, and all of parliament going to be Christian? We're finally going to be ruled by Christian leaders, and Japan's going to be a Christian nation. Maybe one day. But I feel like, dear ones, God is saying, you know, I have solutions that are bigger, and my solutions are make your solutions look small. God could change government, but look at this psalm. Psalm 77, verse 19. It says, your steps, O Lord, formed a highway through the seas with footprints on a journey, on a pathway no one knew were there. Right? And it's talking about when the Lord rescued Israel from the Egyptians and they're at the edge of the Red Sea and all of a sudden they go, what do we do? And God brought them to the place where he did something he never had done before. He parted the sea and he showed them a pathway through it. And they walked in ways and experienced God in ways they never had before, right? I really believe, dear ones, that in these COVID times, that God wants to expand our solutions with life after COVID. And he's gonna part things that nobody thinks can be parted, and he's gonna show us ways to walk that we've never walked before, right? Yeah, because I don't think we're going to be able to social distance for the rest of our lives. My friend runs a preschool right here in Hawaii. And how do you keep 3- and 4-year-olds 6 feet apart at all times? I don't know. How do we exist in the church? That kind of fear. Now, I'm not saying that we shouldn't social distance, but it's just like, does God have a solution that is bigger? I believe he does. And then the second thing, it says that the Spirit will come on us and we'll be witnesses to people all around us. We're going to save a world. Well, you know what? Right now, people have access to all kinds of teachings. They can watch Fumi, myself, all kinds of folks. There's a myriad of teachers. But you know what? You know what the biggest thing that I believe is going to change the world? 2 Corinthians 3:18 says this, and we all who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. As the Spirit of God comes upon us, and we begin to take his word into our hearts and live it with our hands and actions, the Bible says that literally we begin to be transformed. We begin to look like Jesus. And I'm not talking about impressing even the world. I'm talking about the people you're sheltering at home with, your spouse, your children, your parents, your brothers and sisters. Now's the time to invite the power of the kingdom of God to look like Jesus and act like Jesus to the people that are closest and dearest to us. Because when we get out there, we need to look and live and act and love like Jesus to the people that are still caught in COVID fear. We have an answer for them, right? Well, there's a little more. After this, verse 9, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently to the skies he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? The same Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. And it's really interesting because they're looking up at the Lord, and it's a majestic moment. And it's kind of the angels come and say, hey, stop gawking at the clouds. Get back to where you are and pray. The power of God's coming. And you know what? God's going to show you new things. Get to work. Let's go. Right? He's coming back. But right now, don't worry about that. Get to do the things that God has called you to do. Do you hear that? Keep reading. Verse 12. Then they returned from Jerusalem to from the hill called the Mount of Olives, a Sabbath day's walk from the city. That's about 3/4 of a mile. When they arrived, they went upstairs to the room where they were staying. And then it mentions the 11 of the 12 apostles. Verse 14, they all joined together constantly in prayer, along with women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. And there's a couple things that just intrigue me as I look at this. The first one is that, what is it right here? They're together with people that are committed to the journey of God. Right? And this band of 11, right? They were with Jesus from the start, and here they are together. They're committed, and they're with one accord, right? We've talked about this at Crossroad, right? That what are we? What are we devoted to? We're children of God. We have 8 healthy habits that we practice in Acts 2, right? We are disciples that make disciples, and we want to change the number in Japan. Dear ones, when we get back together, physically, that has not changed. That's our one accord, right? And then the third thing I like about this, you notice here that the women and Mary and his brothers are there, that we need to be inclusive and not exclude anybody, but include everybody, right? But it's the last verse that grabs me, and I want to end with this. It says in verse 15, in those days, Peter stood up among the believers, a group numbering about 120. That grabs me. Because Peter, just 6 weeks prior to this event in Acts 1:15, remember, he was denying Christ 3 times after he promised he wouldn't do it. He said, everybody else will deny you, but I won't. And he denied Christ 3 times, right? He betrayed the Lord. Jesus died. There was a resurrection. Jesus appeared to the apostles on a number of occasions. Peter's there. And each time he's seeing God and seeing that he's alive, but he can't shake the denial. And finally in John 21, it says he quits. But Jesus goes after his heart. And he says, you know what? Get back to work. Do you love me more than these? Then go strengthen your brothers. Look at it. It says in those days, Peter stood up. And that means he took leadership among his brothers. Gang, we're going to get out of here. COVID's going to be something that's going to be with us, but there's the remnants of what we have from this are going to remain. And the thing is, it's just, what has God called you to do prior to all of this? Well, you're living at home with them, right? Your family, your children, the people close to you, right? You've been sheltered in fear. Let the power of God come in. It's time to stand up. Let's not shelter in fear anymore. Let's shelter in hope. Invite the power of God to pour into us because life is out there. There are things that God is calling us to do in the aftermath of COVID. Love you, dear ones. Love you. Praying God's blessing on you. Praying the power of God to be on you greatly. And let's go out there, but let's stand up in Jesus' name. Love you all.